Welcome to the Data Broker Files, how apps and data brokers extradite us to mass surveillance by Rebecca Sisitsky, Ingo Dachwitz, and Sebastian Meineck, live from the 38C3. All talks at Congress are live translated between English and German and to one additional language. We appreciate your feedback. Please use the hashtag C3Lingo. Your translators for this talk are Gina and Frostvirus.
Ja, vielen Dank.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the friendly welcome. Welcome to the Data Broker Files, how apps and data brokers extradite us to mass surveillance. What you're about to hear is just a short notice of longer research, and we three of us on the stage right now are just a sample from a huge, larger team. So in the beginning, my thanks to everyone who's just now not can be here. Katja Brunner is having a cold, and the others, without them, this all wouldn't have been possible.
In the Data Broker
Files, it's about 3.6 billion handy cell phone location data, and it's dozens of articles that have already been published by that at Tagesschau.de, Report München, and even in English with our later on added cooperation partners, but one thing after the other.
Genau, was sind diese Standorte?
Right, what are these data profiles that we found? This is data coordinates that are extrapolated from cell phone data, and what we see here, we can show you in examples. Like here's an example from Berlin Mitte, and we see here a person, 8 weeks of data from one person. She was traveling between the Bundestag and the Paul-Löbe-Haus. She traveled with the trains, and we can see she also often visited the cinema. We can see a lot. What we can't see here, but we could show you now if we would zoom out, it's other places that could identify her, like the place of residence, the work site at the ministry, and parks and businesses that she visited, like supermarkets where she went to do her groceries. Another example what we have also seen is another person that was also traveling, residing in Germany, who was training at a military training area in Bayern and traveled to Ramstein, US Air Base in Ramstein, and then even later on to another air base in Spangdahlen. This person had access to several military locations of the US in Germany, and we don't show anything more. What we also don't show is the residence location. Like here with this third person, this is the BND area in Leibing. We also see here Bad Aibling, we see here a person who was oftentimes had access to a BND location. And this is the so-called tin can. It was got famous during the Edward Snowden publications. And this is a house which has no windows and a tin top, and we know something about the person who visited this place. A bit of context for the political situation in which we are currently in, a few headlines from the last year. Only a few weeks ago, the warning of espionaging drone flights spies at the AfD, Webex problem of the German military, attacks on the Rheinmetall chief, the NATO station was obviously the target of Russian sabotage action, like in the Cold War times. Geopolitical tense times, and the German Verfassungsschutz chief was thinking about Russian or North Korean intelligence agencies are spionaging in our country. And for intelligence agencies, data like we found it here are like very valuable, and we can find of tens of thousands of people, and even those who work in security relevant places like military locations. Every point that you can see here in this graphics is a data point, but we managed to locate places like this for several places, federal ministries, but also intelligence agencies, and obviously someone who's working for the NSA in Germany. And this is sensitive data, and we can only see where they work and where they live, but we can also see where this person does healthcare visits, visits a doctor, where she brings her daughter to school. And this is data that is highly interesting for secret intelligence agency who want to look for leaks, find out when location is probably not guarded that well, who's probably make profiles of people who they are trying to maybe even kill, highly sensitive data that we're talking about.
Let's take a closer look at the data set. What do you have to expect here? On the slide, you can see one example entry from this data set. And you can think about this, look at this with tables and CSV format, and it starts with a date and then a timestamp. So it's dated to the second. Then there is the advertisement ID. It's also known as the mobile advertisement ID. This is a number that Apple and Google give to our phones. They're like car numbers, car license plates. Then there's also a shortened code that tells us whether this is Android or iOS, and then the longitude and latitude. And then we don't have one of these rows. We had 3.6 billion of these rows. This number is very large. You can't really look at this number, but as journalists, we wanted to visualize this for you. You can think about this like this. This is the GPS location, that this is us. A different visualization would be this one. Think we had the inkling to print this data set for the haptics. Okay, we want to be able to print this and like be able to read this, so it has about 5 millimeters of height. And if we multiply this, then we get 18,000 kilometers of length. We would have needed a paper thing that would have reached from here until New Zealand. So netzpolitik.org is financed via donations, so we couldn't actually buy this paper. How did we get to this data set? Was this difficult? Was this a leak? No. It actually started with our colleague Eric van der Berg from the Netherlands, and he did a very similar study with data from the Netherlands, and I found this very interesting, and I talked to him. Sebastian, he said, maybe you should look, maybe there is something there for Germany as well, and he recommended DataRate to me, and they have their main station in Berlin. It works like eBay Kleinanzeigen, where data brokers can set up what data they have, and customers can also sign on and then look at what they want to have. And I did this as Sebastian at netzpolitik.org, and I looked at who had GPS coordinates from Germany. And I asked around, and this one of them said no. And I asked the second one, and he also said no. And here it's typical that you get free samples before you pay for the actual subscription. The third person also said no. But now the best research hack is I just also asked DataStream from the US, and they said okay. And then we had our 3.6 billion GPS coordinates. Now you know how large this haystack actually is that we had to weed through. So this is the problem if you then suddenly have too much data. So we looked a lot, and we looked a lot by hand, looking at psychiatrist visits and brothel visits and whatever you can think of. But we also try to automate this a little. And one central tool in this, and the props go to Katharina, our colleague, who sadly can't be here today. And the central tool here is OpenStreetMap. It's like Wikipedia for GPS positions. For example, you can see lineouts of relevant buildings in these polygons. You can also automatically test who actually was within these boundaries. And the interesting thing about this is all of these data has metadata. For example, this is an intelligence agency building. And this can also scale very well. We did this with 1,700 military bases in Germany, which we automatically searched for through. But we also did this with consulates, and we looked which IDs were actually there. And we then had a very long list of very different spots, and we could look who was at several of these positions. The second example that we show, the person that was in Rammstein for a long time, and there we also saw that there was around 1,000. There were 1,000 hits for this person in this sample that we got. This was step one. We wanted to quantitatively check what happens here. And then step two is the open source intelligence analysis. And with the address of the people, you can see a lot of the people. You can look at partners of this person and other different public information, for example, in the phone book. And for some people, we can actually find contact information, and they actually confirmed that these movement patterns are real. Now you notice this is not a problem for people that work in security-relevant spaces. This is a problem for millions of people that are now being X-rayed. We just focused on the national security, a small hack, to get attendance to this and actually find out who actually is in danger here. And we wanted to show that this is not a theoretical danger, but this is a very direct, actual danger. So we look at this online advertising. And this is an online advertisement agency, and they just use the online advertisement infrastructure to generate data about people. There are different things. There's different journalistic research about this. There's a fake advertisement platform that is now in the advertisement platform, and they did connect positioning data through this. And they collected 6 billion patterns through this. And then recently published this add-end as a servlet from LocateX. It's a practical search mouse for people. So you can actually search for people by their GPS location. It's a Google Maps for people. And we also know that there is, for example, in the US, Ventil and Xmode, they also sell this data to the FBI and to their border patrol. And they also have advertisement videos in Chinese. We really don't know who is actually buying this, but it seems that the Chinese people are a market for these people. Question? If we know that US agencies buy this data, and we also know this from the Netherlands. Question is now, we can now buy this very easy data for tracking people, and we asked the BND, the Bundesamt für Verfassungsschutz, and the Bundesamt für den Militärischen Abschiebedienst, and they didn't say anything, and there is no information about this, so this is a secret.
Gibt es offenbar gute Gründe?
But it seems to be that there are very good reasons to accept that this is already happening. Corbina Ruckenbauer and Thorsten Wetzling have published a study in 2024, and they looked at the laws and they noticed that in Germany there is no direct loopholes in our laws, but there are reasonings for the laws, and in these there are reasonings that accept that this seems to be happening.
The big mystery is now, how exactly did the data come into our hands? We already tried to hint at it, but a few no's, one yes, and obviously very easy, but how exactly did the data be transferred into third-party hands? The first step, it's obviously you have to buy a cell phone, but then you have to install an app. So first step, installing the app. Actually, and sharing your location. If the location is not being shared, then it's technically not possible, but as soon as you share it, then it can theoretically not be collected by the app, but also being transferred by the app. And this is theoretically working on several paths, and we have been talking to several developers, and they said they had direct contact to app developers, and they got the data immediately from the app developers, for example, via SDK, like software development kits that are immediately included in apps. And the traders say, okay, they immediately got that via the SDK, but very possible is that they also are being included because of the online advertising market. Like, we see advertising in apps, and these are within seconds being transferred, and the data is sent forth and back all the time in the background. The question is, which kind of apps are these? The data brokers were not telling us, but they said mostly navigational apps, gaming apps, weather apps, dating apps. And the data is streaming, so there is brokers like DataStream who bundle these data and sell them. There are a lot of them who do that, and that's why there are several trading spots where it's some of them even curiously are located in Berlin, and you can create a profile there and connect with each other. The special thing about DataRate, and that's maybe the explanation why they are located in Berlin, is that this data is trading spots don't actually check who's the seller and buyer, but they also offer consulting in this. Yes, this is a short reminder. Sepp surely noticed it, but this is only possible because there's mobile advertising ads, IDs. Short numbers that we get via Apple or Google, and that only have this single purpose, making people recognizable for advertising. And there are whole genres in that only try to make people recognizable, and huge role in this play advertising IDs. So thanks to Apple and thanks to Google on this spot.
Nun ist das, was wir hier beschreiben, im Prinzip.
So what we're talking about here is basically known for quite a while, but having this at hand, how people are being exposed in this case, this has not been known as broadly, and when we published the articles, the reactions were appropriately quite drastic, but I have tried to show it here within a spectrum. It starts with shrugging, and then goes over to maybe we have to fix some loopholes until table flip, the system has to go. And some of this I want to go into a bit. What did they say? Okay, nothing. DataRay, they just do the Joker card, like, okay, we are just brokers, and if there is no, if you don't like single offers of us, you don't have to use them. And the Bundesministerium für Wirtschaft says, okay, they gave a bit of, they kind of agreed with that in a bit. You have from the industry, partly of us, like tax money is going some of the several companies.
And we also asked them, and then they responded. They didn't know how, like, there were like laws broken in this. There was also very interesting from Ms. Rosenberg, who said, "Oh, we can't really do anything. We need to sensitize our soldiers." We also now we jump to the other end of the spectrum, and we see. We see Roderich Kiesewetter, he's member of the German Parliament, and he's part in the group that has to check the work of the intelligence agency, and he said that we need to protect our people. So we moved the theme to national security, and now we get help from the German city. There's also more faces, but I'm going to jump over them. But we also need to talk about the other end of the scale. We talked about people that want to remove all advertisement IDs and make them illegal, and we hear this from very like radical the Consumer Protection Federal Agency.
Genau, stellt sich natürlich noch
now the question that we also get is also we also have the GDPR. Can all of this be legal? Why does this exist? And through this research, we also realized that we also have the merit greets you daily, groundhog greets you daily, and everybody says that you need to give informed consent. It has to be free and it has to be informed. In the practical sense, it's not informed and it's also not free. It's not free because you don't really have a choice. If you want to use the app, you have to accept this. But also it's not informed because who is supposed to understand the way this data actually moves? There is 100 companies here that actually use this. My weather app actually has more than 800 companies listed where the data is going to. So we really don't know who actually then buys this data. You have no way of giving informed and free consent. Also, the GDPR forces that you have a cause for this data, and also this is structurally against the GDPR because the only point of the data collection is to sell it, then you have a different reason for collecting the data than you actually are using it for. And then data subject rights, nobody knows actually the companies that are here that are doing stuff. Nobody has heard from Datastream or DataRate.
Es ist natürlich absolut illusorisch, dass Betroffene gegenüber hunderten Tausenden
no subject can actually set their personal rights through against all of these companies. And the data protection agencies, they're busy with different things. They're mostly active if a bunch of people from the country actually do actually complain, but they don't really have enough money to actually deal with this. But the people from the country don't actually complain about this because how are they supposed to know all of the background data? So they don't know about this cluster of companies. So we have a complete lack of data protection in this. Until now, we now have a problem with actual like enforcing the law, but now we also have problems in the law. DataRate, the marketplace in Berlin, they should, as a marketplace, have some responsibility in this. But the GDPR agency in Berlin has looked at this, and they say that the GDPR is only works for people that are in possession of the data, and data rate only gives the connections between people, so it actually doesn't apply to them. There's also different interpretations of the law, but the Data Protection Agency from Berlin has actually decided this. But what do we do now? From the perspective from Netzpolitik.org, we should just make this illegal. But there is also more differentiated or more nuanced ideas. First, we have problem with informed consent in the GDPR. The consent should allow for data sovereignty, but this has not worked. We should have tougher action against this ad tech industry. So we need to make the data protection agencies to actually enforce this here. This is just very dangerous. So the ad tech industry seems to show in the last years that they really don't have an interest in actually taking this seriously and taking the data protection rights of people seriously. So the third thing is to make personalized advertisement and data selling illegal. The fourth thing is that we want to close this legal loophole through the data brokers, and they are in Berlin, and they're like few kilometers from our office, and they're just saying, oh, we're just connecting people, we just don't have any responsibility, we don't take up any responsibility for this data, and we should close this legal loophole. And the last thing is, if we're using about intelligence agency use for this data, we need transparency in how this uses. We need to debate about this. We need to be able to debate about this, how the agencies should be allowed to buy this data. For example, the intelligence agencies shouldn't buy illegal data. You see, we can't push this onto the single user, or should just push this on. But maybe you want to do something right now. That's why we now are going to talk about digital self-distance. You can remove your advertisement ID. You can actually remove this. It isn't possible for that long, but now it's possible in the settings. You can also remove the permission for your GPS location from several apps, and you can also look at alternatives. You can look at Google Free Android or Google Free Ad platforms. You can also make this more difficult for them. For example, you can ask for your data back from them. You can find contact details for the data brokers on our website. You can complain to the data protection agencies, but this can help the people of the country actually care about this. And we can't just ignore this. There's also data protection agencies like NOIP who are taking or like thinking about taking legal action. How good that all of you can check whether you are actually in our data set. You can look for the data broker checker, so you can enter your ID. We are going to hash this ID, and then we don't get this, we don't want this, and you can give an get information, either your ID is in our data set or it's not in our data set. There is a low number of people has already recognized this, but we have, if you're actually in this data set, we would love to talk to you. Please send us an email.
As I've introduced it at the beginning, this is only a short notice. We're still in the making and researching. If the following words don't sound like nonsense to you, please write to us Rebecca or me, during the next months, some new stuff is going to be published. You can look this up on the internet, and can tell you that one bit so far. This one data set with the 3.6 billion data sets, this was not the only one we got. Thanks a lot. Yeah, thanks a lot for this insight. I'm pretty sure that there are a lot of questions. First one I can see over there on microphone two. Yes. From the talk, we learned that the 3.6 billion data is where this sample you got from the broker. How much is within when you buy it, and how much does it cost?
Yeah. More. We only asked for Germany in that case. The total number for the German data, I don't know. But we got a sample from about 3 weeks. I'm thinking that this is what you can get for these 3 weeks in Germany. On their page, the data broker had like a world map where they have colored from which countries there is data, and they have colored them, and it was almost all of them, not Russia, not North Korea, but most of them. To the cost, there was currently a sale going on when I looked, like $14,000 during a month, and then you really get, then you're promised real-time data. That would be a lot for us. This would also be interesting to intelligence agencies, government bodies. Yeah, you could pay this.
Thanks. Next would be microphone four, if you'd like to. Question is, could you, or do you know if someone has a GDPR, offers some possibility to ask about your own debt?
Would I like to? The story of Martin? The colleague Martin Gundersen from the Norwegian broadcasting agency has done a research like this in previous years, and how this is. There are different actors here, and it went through a chain. So he actually looked for one app. He could actually follow the flow of his data. And there was one interesting actor, Ventel, a company from the US, who got large, or like got into... They actually sell this to U.S. Border Patrol. And it's not impossible, so if you want to, please go for it. I would be very interested, but it can be very difficult because some companies just say, oh, we don't know where we got this from. Data brokers also make contracts that actually disallow showing you where the sources are. And they actually don't care about this. They don't care where the data is coming from. So the threat you're pulling at could just be ending at some point, but you can be lucky. But also,
in an older research from last year, we've also drawn together the several email addresses on netzpolitik.org available for someone who wants to have researched this any further.
One question from the internet.
The internet wants to know how recent were the data that were in the data set?
Well, the data was dated to end of last year. We talked to a lot of people that actually confirmed these movement profiles, and they actually said, this might be older data. But the interesting thing is that we had this sample, and the question is, when did this sample... was this sample generated for which time frame? And we could also identify these people. And people have routines, and people have a normal way of life, and all of this is very threatening for the victims that we actually talk to. The actuality, or like the time, the real-timeness of the data, is not really the interesting, important thing if the people stick to the same place of residence. There is, in the EdTech brand, like, the data brokers actually throw different dates on this. So there's parts there, and like people are trying to find out how old the data is.
Als nächstes Mikrofon 2, bitte.
Next microphone, mic 2, please. Hi. You've just showed the data broker checker. Did you enter your own ad IDs, or how can you find your own?
It's explained in the article. With Apple, it's a bit more complicated. In Android, you can find them okayishly, but in Apple, you need to install like a third app that you can then uninstall it and further to get this MIED. There's an easy instructions there. We also did this, and we also looked beforehand. There definitely are people on team. There's at least one person on the team that is in one of these datasets.
Next would be microphone 4, please. Thanks. There is some influencer advertising about services who try to get you out of these data broker lists. Do you know if they're worth the money?
Well, what we saw are that the data then goes to some data brokers in Singapore, Dubai, or somewhere else, and there it's very decentralized. So if we're looking at the GDPR perspective, what we also talked about, there is like your right to being forgotten and the right to be have data corrected, and it's really very difficult. So we don't think this is enforceable. The advertisement IDs are also not always correct. So if you enter yourself into the data broker checker ID, then yes, but if it says no, it's not that your data profile is not in our data set, but sometimes the advertisement IDs are not actually correct.
Thanks for the opinion. Next, please, the microphone without a number on the balcony. Hello. Thanks for the talk. You've said that the data security authorities oftentimes said that they're overloaded with questions, and your improvement advice was that they look into this in a better way. Do you have any idea how they should do it when they are not compatible?
The data protection agencies are sometimes doing stuff by themselves, so they're taking coordinated action via the states in Germany, and this would be possible because this is a structural problem. The people can only complain about a cookie banner where the consent is not really given correctly, but this is only the first layer of this ecosystem. We really need to go beyond this. The government agencies need to really look at this research and then actually take action against them on their own. And they should take some research here. That's what we're waiting for. We're waiting for them going to the companies, looking at the service and not only sending letters and just taking up and putting on their enforcement shoes.
We're a bit over time right now because of technical difficulties in the beginning, so one last question, please, of microphone 1, please. Yeah, thanks. Secret services intelligence agencies from Russia and China could also be able to buy this data. Do German intelligence agencies not have fear of that?
They're also fearsome of this, but they say, yeah, this is a problem, but they are telling us, oh, well, we can't really do anything. We know this is a problem. There's a NATO study here on this.com, and they actually tell us about this threat, but they're saying, well, we can't really do anything. We can sensibilize our soldiers so that they can actually look at the phone, and they don't know what they want to sensibilize about. Do they want to not use phones? Do they want them to not install apps? What do they want? Thank you for this. Thank you for the talk. Applause,